Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello? Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hello and welcome to Loose Units, Loose Ends, the Loose Units spin-off podcast where Dad and I keep you company through this. Is it still a quarantine? I know certain states are handling it differently, Dad, but how is it in New South Wales right now?
New South Wales is wonderful.
But it's not like full-on toilet paper hoarding time anymore, is it?
No, we're speaking from my perspective. I'm managing to get through all the toilet paper.
Sure. All right. Well, I mean, and you did have a lot, didn't you?
Yeah, I'm embarrassed.
Yeah.
To comment any further, let's just say that I did suffer a little bit of. I became a
hoarder,
a minimalist hoarder.
Sure.
I had to read my. You know that I own 3 books on minimalism.
Yes.
I had to actually refer to them yesterday, just to make sure I'm still on track.
Yeah, if you look in the appendix for, on your minimalism books to find out if building a fort out of your excess toilet paper is still minimalism, the short answer is no. And the long answer is no, because they don't want to take up too much space in the book. Dad, I wanted to kick things off with a question from a listener, if that's okay.
Yeah, go for it.
Okay. This is from Carly Renee. Carly said, I don't know if this has been asked yet, but John, when you have gone to scenes of a fire, how do you determine the cause of the fire? Just thinking as an average person here, I always wondered how they determine the cause, i.e. if it was lit by a match or fueled by petrol to get it going. Carly.
Carly, great question.
Carly.
Oh, Carly. Well, yeah. Carly also. Carly and Carly. Oh, dear, dear, dear. Well, the first thing you do is you use your olfactory center. Do we all know what that is?
Yeah, it's your nose and your mouth, right? Yeah.
Not your mouth.
Oh.
Just your nose. Oh. In fact, the listeners have been posting some photographs of fire trucks at petrol stations recently. One came through last night. Yeah. People saying things like, wow, I don't know where people thought fire engines got their petrol from, but they actually just get them from normal petrol stations. And people are starting to send in photographs of fire engines at the Bowsers.
Sure.
Which is a little bit off topic, I concur. But, yeah, it's so off topic. Oh, God. Where was I?
How do you determine when you get to
that's
a fire?
Right. Okay, so here's this, everyone. Next time you see a fire engine speeding to some incident, it's possible, but I'm not sure whether it's that likely, but in the olden days, i.e. the 1990s, it was not uncommon for firefighters on the way to a job to stick their heads out the window.
I like dogs.
Exactly, and get a sense of the smell coming from not inside the fire engine where some members may have passed wind, but outside the engine as you're coming towards the fire. That particular smell would give you an indicator of what type of fire it was, i.e. house fire, bush fire, chemical fire, or chemical incident. Because these smells, particularly if you're heading toward the fire or the incident and the prevailing wind is blowing the odour. So the same thing at a fire after the fire, when you go inside to a burning building, you can sometimes smell accelerant. Now, if it's a domestic dwelling or a shop, like a news agency or something where they've perhaps done an insurance job, the chances are with insurance jobs, they pretty well 9 times out of 10 use an accelerant because they need it to really get going hard and fast. They don't want the fires to rock up and put it out.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they've just burned a few of their newspapers and they've got to reopen for business and it's a real fizzer. So, unless, of course, they're selling fireworks because they do Is this particular firework called a fizzer? Not sure.
If it is, it's not a very good one.
No, it's a bit of a fizzer.
Bit of a fizzer.
Very good, Paul. And, yeah, look, I mean, using a match, I mean, if you were going to light a fire, then, you know, of course you'd use a match to start with, but you'd hope that it really got going really, really quickly, so you'd use lots and lots of exciting accelerants and maybe set fire to the curtains and, you know, get... and maybe even set a little fire. But there are ways of that the fire professionals, you know, arson experts within the brigade and also within forensics, there are ways they can find the seat of the fire, which is the where there's the most intensity, and they can quite clearly see in a lot of fires the seat where the fire actually originated.
Yeah.
And within that, they will look for evidence. Hopefully that helps a little bit with that answer.
All right. Well, look, one of the things you wanted to talk about this week was, look, everyone, last week, Dad told a story about a billiard ball being stuck up someone's bottom. Mm. And first of all, I'd like to address the several listeners who pointed out, well, first of all, I said that it was very unlikely that you could sit on a Pavlova magic egg and it go inside you. Mm. And my argument for that was, well, it's not flat on the bottom, so it wouldn't stay still. And then people sent in photos. They are flat on the bottom. That's how they store them on supermarket shelves. So I stand corrected, and then I sit corrected in the wrong place. Mm. So, but you said you had a follow-up to the ball story.
Well, a particular person who works in a hospital within this country, or not, I'm just trying to be very non-specific, this particular person has been corresponding with me with some fascinating stories. Mm. And this particular person, she wrote to me a few days ago with a correction to my original story.
Right.
As I had indicated, because I wasn't quite sure which hole the said billiard ball... I'm not sure whether it was a billiard ball or a snooker ball.
What's the difference?
Well, they're the same diameter, but they're different colours. Different colours. And it's a different... It's a different... it's just a different game. And the early balls that not many people will perhaps know about, and maybe even you don't know this, Paul, but they were made of ivory.
Oh.
Did you know that?
No.
And having dealt in antiques for a long time, almost 40 years, if you gave me an ivory snooker or billiard ball and a synthetic snooker or billiard ball... Mm-hmm. Blindfolded me and put the two balls in my hands. That sounds crazy, doesn't it? And then I was somehow or other, well, if they were actually billiard balls or snooker balls, I could then put them behind my back.
Yep.
And do you know that I could actually tell you which was the ivory ball and which was the synthetic ball by just feeling them? Isn't that amazing?
That's a weird skill to have. It's not really a party trick.
No, but as an antique dealer, it was very important to be able to differentiate.
There's a line in Jurassic Park where Gennaro, the lawyer, is sitting in the truck with the kids and they're playing with those headsets and he goes, put that down. And they go, why? And he goes, is it heavy? And they say, yes. And he goes, well, if it's heavy, it's expensive. And I guess what I'm trying to say is ivory heavier than what they would use? No. It's lighter.
It's nothing to do with weight.
What? Then how can you tell?
Ah, well, would you like to, you can ask me questions if you like.
Can you hear the ghostly screams of the animal slaughtered needlessly for the ball?
Well, no, if it was a synthetic ball, you couldn't.
But I'm saying if it's ivory.
I know what you're saying. The balls. So I've got a pair of balls in my hands.
Ooh,
not a pair in each. I mean, a pair of balls in my hands would indicate four balls, wouldn't it?
No, maybe. You have a pair in your hands.
A pair in my hands.
So I think you've maybe separated the balls.
True. Yep. So I've separated them. They're behind my back. Do you have any questions?
Yeah,
at this point.
Why have you done this to an innocent bystander?
No, it's to tell which is which. It's a party trick, kind of.
Right.
Although the crowd will disperse if I mention ivory, because ivory's not so popular, and rightfully so. It's to do with the temperature. So ivory is a different temperature to the synthetic material.
Is that because it's organic matter and organic matter holds heat differently?
Possibly.
I guess what I'd like to figure out is what the follow-up was from your contact who told you about the the ball.
Thanks for bringing me back on track, Paul. I need you to, because it's great, because I would no have problem. Fucking gone God knows
like,
where.
It's like trying to get smoke back in a bottle some days.
Okay, so this lovely person, she got back to me and said, well, look, John, it actually wasn't her anus. It was her, the other place.
Oh.
Her,
No, I know. Her secret cave.
Yeah. So, and then she sort of punctuated that correction quite beautifully, and she said, John, have you ever tried to remove a slippery ball with a pair of tongs? To which I thought about that and thought, no, I haven't yet ever done that. And so back to the original story, they were in fact inside her... her
you can say area. Vagina. It's just vagina. They're yeah. in her vagina.
They're inside that region. And they were there for months. No, oh. Not they, shit. There weren't two of them. Not that I know of. I think there was only one. And they're a decent size, might I add. So it was obviously put in there on purpose. Hmm. And then for some reason or other, she found it difficult to extricate the billiard or snooker ball. And I don't know whether it was ivory or synthetic.
Maybe she just... Because sometimes if the ball gets stuck, you just put in the coins and then it puts all of them out at once.
Yeah, but that drops them all out simultaneously.
Right, yeah.
That's right. There's certain etiquette
yeah.
when playing with any ball, with any ball games. Like there's the French game where you've, and I'm not sure what that's called, bull,
hang on,
is it?
Bulls. Bull?
Yeah, bulls.
Yeah, it's the lawn bowl. It's where you throw the kind of ornate, yeah.
Metal ball, and there's a technique
used. I did some research, and it turns out that there is a slight difference. A snooker ball is 2 1/16 of an inch in diameter, and the billiard ball is 2 7/16 of an inch. So,
which is slightly larger.
Slightly larger, yeah.
Yeah. But I think in this particular story. And then, funnily enough, we were getting lots of photographs on various social media platforms with photographs of capsicums.
Capsicum.
And the thing is that everyone wanted to know what that particular thing was that was sort of sticking out of that person's bottom, and it was yep. a prolapsed anus. So that's the mystery solved.
Yeah.
And that particular nurse that wrote to me about the billiard ball, she also sent me a few questions, and she was very, very particular, and she numbered each question. First question was the photograph post-mortem, which is a great question. In other words, was the photo that I saw when I was an eight-year-old, when I was sneaking a look in that medical book at my neighbour's house with the excitement and fear of getting caught looking at these taboo photographs, but from memory, the person who was lying down was actually alive. And that was the answer to the first question. The second question was, I think the question was, did I know what it was? And I've since found out. But at the time, I genuinely thought that it was a vegetable of some type.
Yep,
I love capsicum. I love capsicum. I love big peppers.
Look, this is all well and good, Dad, but I think the main event for this episode is something that I've been dying to discuss with you. And that is the fact that several times on Loose Ends, we've discussed the crossbow killer. And the fact that, you know, but what's happened is, of course, we have various family members who, you know, who listen to this show.
Yep.
And you said that you have an update on this.
Well, your grandmother, who funnily enough, well, perhaps not funnily enough, but your grandmother is my mother.
Weird. Yeah.
And she, now let's just refresh the listeners very briefly. This is the guy that, oh, look, here's something else. Paul, did I tell you that I got a letter from a listener a few weeks ago? And this particular lady's now husband found the torso in Pittwater. Did I tell you that?
No, what torso?
Well, you know how he cut the bodies up? He got rid of, when he thought he was going to get caught, he'd kept the torso and various body parts
yeah.
in his freezer, but then he thought, shit, I've got to get rid of this torso. And it was bound in chicken wire.
Right.
And he threw the torso into Pittwater. And one of our listeners' husbands, when he was a teenager, I think he was 17 at the time, he was fishing in Pittwater, and he's the guy that found the torso of the dismembered body that had been killed by the crossbow killer. I mean, that's how our listeners, that's how the reach we have with this podcast.
That's bananas.
And I'm sorry that I didn't tell you that before.
No, that's fantastically interesting.
But, you know, this morning I had a message from a guy that works in a vineyard in Tasmania. And He just loves the podcast. He's stoked about the new book coming out.
Oh, that's nice.
Which you made reference to. I'll send you a link, or I'll screenshot what he said. And there's this guy working in the vineyards, must be freezing in Tassie, and he's just a devotee. I mean, I don't like sort of self-congratulating or patting ourselves on our back too much, but it's really lovely.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
That people bother to write in.
I mean, we get some great stuff. We got a message very recently from, I assume, a firefighter with photos taken upon arrival to a structure fire a couple of weeks ago. I'm assuming the person who's... Because the person who sent them through didn't say whether they're a firefighter or not, so they're either a firefighter or an arsonist returning to the scene of the crime.
Which is not uncommon either.
I mean, here's a question, Dad. Statistically, how many arsonists do you think listen to this show?
Well, do you want a number or a percentage?
Just a rough percentage would be good.
Okay, because for an arsonist, it could be beneficial. I dread saying that, but if you actually dissected all the podcasts we've ever done, and that also applies to other people, other criminals, I'm sure there'd be information in there that you could sort of extricate and then distill. And
now, listen, you were talking about this update on the crossbow killer.
Yep. Okay, listeners, get ready for this. Paul's about two weeks ago, my mother, your grandmother, she texted me and she said, "Oh, John," because she likes to refer to me as with my name.
Uh-huh.
She said, "Oh, John, I just thought you'd like to know that I taught the crossbow killer. Had I told you that before?"
No. What did she teach him?
Well, it was second class.
Oh, so just like kind of everything, really?
Yeah, just general. And my mother was an amazing teacher. She taught more than 50 years.
She taught me to read, actually. I was having trouble with literacy until I got to, I think, year one. And she said, "No grandson of mine is going to not be able to read." And then started pulling me in during lunch breaks and basically forcing me to read, which
And you hated it at first.
I hated it, but obviously, given that I'm on to my second book, it clearly paid off.
Mm. So. Or as Tegan would say, book.
What do you mean?
She sometimes refers to a book as a book.
She's never said book.
She's said it so many times.
Instead of much, she says much. Sometimes she has a slight Mancunian accent, but she'd never say book.
Anyway, she said it many times. So, Paul,
yes.
Your grandmother,
my
mum, she began to tell me a few little... Because I kind of said... I got a bit excited.
Yeah.
And I said, "Mum, you've got to have some... We need some... Can you give me some more info than is known?"
Yeah.
You know how you talk about people that listen to the podcast? I mean, I assume this guy's still alive, and I'm wondering whether I'm actually really genuinely curious as to whether anyone in jail listens to our podcast.
How would they?
Paul, they do have access to technology.
Well, forgive my ignorance. I don't know that much about what it's like to be in prison, what you do and don't have access to. Well, I'm not sure.
Yeah. They've got this amazing radio station run
right.
by... It's in England that I'm not sure whether we get it here, but it's a prison radio station, and I've heard it, and it is very, very good. It's very, very right. interesting and really good for the mental well-being. And there are people that would say, well, you know, once they're in, but, you know, anyway, that's a whole another story. But so I was thinking before I said all this, you know, I thought, golly, he's still alive and presumably still in custody, and I wonder how he'd feel about me saying what I'm about to say. So Mum told me that he had been to another school. I'm not going to mention the type of school because it's quite popular with slightly alternate viewpoints in terms of mainstream curricular education.
I know the one.
But yep. Anyway, he'd been to this particular school where, funnily enough, some of our, you may recall, some of my good friends, they sent their kids there for a while. Do you recall?
I think I went to one for some maths tutoring at some point.
Correct. Maybe. So the thing is, Paul, that he'd gone to this school and they have a very, very interesting system of teaching, where they like to encourage the children to be very, let's say, free-spirited. They couldn't handle him. So he went back into the mainstream system.
Right.
And my poor dear mum managed to land up with this boy. And he used to clench this book. It was a notebook. And he very proudly would never show it to anyone. It was an exercise book that he had from the other school.
Yeah.
And eventually mum managed to talk him into showing her some of the, you know, the contents of this particular notebook.
Mm.
And it had at least 100 pages. And he one day showed Mum. So he's in second class. I guess he'd be maybe 8 or 9 years old.
Yeah.
I'm not quite sure. Inside the book were literally hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of penises that he'd drawn. And not only had he drawn numerous penises and only penises, but he'd also written the word penis underneath every single caricature. I'm not saying it was a caricature. They could have been quite realistic. I don't know. So that was fairly weird.
There are certain things that, you know, young boys, I don't know if do, but at least did, used to get quite fixated on. And I'm not sure there's a... Did his crimes, refresh my memory and the listeners' memories, did his crimes involve phalluses at all?
Not necessarily, but they were, shall we say, homoerotic, from what I've been able to glean. So that is an interesting part of the story. And then the other part of the story, this is coming from my mother, so it's 100% factual, even though I don't feel I ever need to say that or preface anything I say with that particular phrase, but it's, I want to punctuate that by then saying the other thing that he used to do when he was in second class is that he used to shit in all the bubblers at the school. He would go to all the bubblers where children go and drink and defecate, shit, crap. And when you put that together with the book of penises, I think what you've got, particularly in hindsight, is the makings of potentially a fairly disturbed person.
Yeah.
But I also know that he was highly intelligent.
Right.
And I thought that was just a bit of an interesting add-on to the story. And let's face it, he, as we all know, as the listeners know, when he was with his girlfriend in their lounge room, he would remove the head from the freezer and roll it across the floor.
Yeah.
Which is an unusual thing to do. And if we were to imagine that he perhaps liked lawn bowls, you know, that's I don't know whether he did, but that's where my mind goes. And then, sure. Of course, we've been talking about bowls earlier on, so that's a good segue back into where the whole thing started.
I often wonder how many people I went to school with, because I went to school with some bad people, and I often wonder how many of them were secretly harboring, you know, like either criminal careers or criminal tendencies. I would genuinely be curious to see, because I went to a boys' school for a portion of my life, and I'm just so curious as to which of these people, if any, ended up doing bad things or good things. It must be weird to have gone to school with someone like that and then find out, you know.
Mm. Well, I'll tell the listeners and you a little story, and I may have told you before, but I think it's well worth mentioning, and that is that a particular guy that I went to high school with who was, he was a crim, and he ended up in Long Bay Jail. He was a really, really, I don't know if he was born bad, but everything about him was fucking creepy. And I went to his house one day, and I remember, I'm sure I've told you this story, but I'll tell it again. He had a little brother who was about four, and the little brother, we're in a park heading towards his house, and for some reason or other, we stopped in the park, and his little brother stood on top of the slippery dip and pissed on me. Have I told you this story?
No.
Yeah. So he's 3 or 4 years old, he whips his dacks down and he pees all over me. Now, I thought that was a bit odd at the time. I mean, I've never done that to another human being. So that was bizarre. And then we went to his house, and he lived in a pretty depressing place, and I'll never forget this. And I think it's important just to talk about meeting and knowing people when they were younger, and then he actually ended up going into the Bay, Long Bay Jail, for some pretty heavy shit. But when we went into his house, and I was probably, I would have been in first form, so I would have been maybe 12. He took me into his mum and dad's room, and I remember as a 12-year-old thinking, this is really, this house that he lived in a suburb on the Northern Beaches, but it was a fairly depressing suburb. I remember going into the house, and there was a pall of misery I sensed as a 12-year-old, that something was just sad. I remember seeing holes in the walls, and looking back, that would have been as a direct result of domestic violence. And I'll never forget, he went over to his mother's side table next to the bed, and he pulled out a vibrator. Now, I'd never seen a vibrator before, a battery-operated one about, let me think, from memory, maybe 10 inches long. It was white. And he turned it on. I just stood there as a 12-year-old thinking, I genuinely didn't know what it was, but as time went by, I obviously remembered what it was, and then I began to think about the weirdness of the whole situation, why he would show me his mother's vibrator. And then and now it all makes perfect sense. In terms of, that was the environment that he grew up in. He had a brother that had pissed on me 15 minutes before. I know this is all going to sound pretty creepy and horrific, but these stories are not that unusual in certain sort of climates. And then back to the crossbow killer. I mean, he was demonstrating some fairly unusual behaviour at a very early age.
Yeah.
And are these markers for the future? And don't forget that the crossbow killer's grandmother taught him how to torture animals.
Yes, that's right.
Which I think it's creepy.
Well, it's a weird place to finish on, but I feel like it's apt. Obviously, we're going to be back on Tuesday with a brand new episode of Loose Units, but we hope you've enjoyed this bonus episode of Loose Ends, and if you want to get in touch with us, hop across to facebook.com/loose units and make sure you pre-order Electric Blue if you haven't already, and we will see you next week for more Loose Units.
Fantastic. Bye. Thanks, everyone. Bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.